Welcome back. I'm Andy Bates, sitting in for Pastor Jonathan Fisk as he is making his way to the National March for Life and the LCMS Life Conference in Washington, D.C. It is time for us to check in now with Pastor Wirth. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Andy.
A blessed Friday morning to you and happy National Lutheran Schools Week.
Same to you and yours.
And how are things with our saints, our friends at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church there in Arnold?
We're doing fine, thanks.
Very good. Very good.
Thanks for asking.
So, National Lutheran Schools Week, we've been giving thanks to God all week on Faith and Family for our Lutheran schools this week. They are a blessing, and I'm very thankful for Lutheran schools as my son attends an early childhood center, which is a Lutheran school here in the St. Louis area. I'm very grateful for that. And I know that Lutheran schools are an important part of for families all across the country.
That is absolutely true, and we thank God for faithful pastors, teachers, DCEs, and other church workers who do so much to work with our young people from the very youngest ages all the way up through college, including campus ministry. We'll give a shout-out to our campus pastors as well as they try to work with young people and keep them in that faith that the Lord worked in those children when they were very little and to keep them as they mature in a very hostile world. And part of the hostile world is that hostile worldview out there, that the mainstream worldview around us is not very kind to Christianity, whereas once here in the United States of America, much of the culture around us was strongly influenced by the Bible and a Christian worldview. In recent years, things have kind of turned the other way, and that more and more the worldview around us is influenced by a secular humanistic worldview. And people are challenged in their Christian faith when they go to school, when they go to a museum, when they watch TV, listen to music. It's just all around us that don't believe in God, don't believe the Bible, don't believe in Jesus. And a lot of it is the foundation of a lot of secular, humanistic, religious, philosophical belief is to deny that God is the creator, to just assert that the universe is self-existing, and there's no need for a creator, and you can explain everything just by science and reason, and you don't need to listen to the Bible or believe what the Bible says about where we come from or where we're going or how to get there through Jesus Christ. And so the question might arise, should Christian schools, and you and I would say, should Lutheran schools teach evolution? There's an article on the Answers in Genesis website right now about that. It was posted by Avery Foley on January 12th of this year. And people might be surprised that the answer from Answers in Genesis is yes, Christian schools should teach evolution. Not as fact, though. See, that's the key thing. Whereas public schools teach evolution as a fact and won't allow any other view to be told very often, Christian schools should teach evolution so that Christian students are going to understand what the prevalent worldview is and how to answer that so that their faith will not be shaken if they run into this later in life and have never heard of it before. So there, in that article, basically, he gives three main reasons why Christians should teach evolution in their schools. It's eventually, the children are going to run into evolutionary teaching anyway. After all, it's everywhere. It's better for them to learn about evolution from someone who will point out the weaknesses and inconsistencies than someone who dogmatically teaches it as unquestionable truth. So whereas in public schools and TV shows and National Geographic magazine and museums and stuff, they're going to teach evolution as unquestionable fact, better they should learn about evolution from their Christian parents, Christian pastors, Christian teachers, who will then show them, this is what the theory says, but here's why we don't believe it, both on the basis of the Bible and on the basis of scientific evidence. Number two, it's important to understand and be able to articulate the opposing position. And I think that's something that we as Christians should really make an effort to do. The other side isn't always so good about doing that. But in any debate, you need to understand where the other person is coming from. You should be able to articulate their position as well as they can. So work very hard to understand why they believe what they believe, but also then be very grounded in the truth so that you are able to not only know their position, but refute it and do it by the truth of God's word, as well as the truth of a scientific understanding of what's going on. Number three, the article argues that Christian schools, and we would say Lutheran schools, should teach evolution to keep us from making poor arguments. And, you know, since I've been interested in this subject for a very long time, and talk to a lot of people about it, I've run into people often making these poor arguments, and the Answers in Genesis website is a very helpful resource that has a lot of information to help people make correct arguments in this matter rather than making mistaken arguments. Let me give you an example. It says, if you don't understand evolution, it makes it easy to make some mistakes in your argumentation. Here's an example that we've heard well-meaning creationists argue. Quote, if people evolved from apes, then why do apes still exist? But you see, evolutionists don't believe that we came from apes per se. They believe that we evolved from an ape-like creature, an ape-like ancestor, and that apes, today's apes, are our cousins. So the argument is poor, it's inaccurate, it's ineffective. The other side will easily shoot it down and consider you not well-informed. So better to be very well-informed on what they really do teach, so that we can make proper arguments against the evolutionary line of thinking. And again, if you go to Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org, and if you type in the search field, arguments creationists shouldn't use, then they have a whole bunch of them there, and they give you why those arguments are poorly thought out, and they give you a better line of reasoning, a better line of argumentation to use instead. So how should we teach evolution if we're going to teach evolution in our schools? Well, this is what we should do. Number one, start at an age-appropriate time. Little kids don't need to learn about evolution. They need to be grounded in the truth first and then start learning about what other people believe. However, since many preschool programs and books do teach evolution, for example, Dinosaur Train, Sesame Street, and so forth, you need to be prepared. If your children have access to these programs and books, you should explain the fallacies of evolution in light of the biblical truth that you're teaching them, but do it in a certainly an age-appropriate way. Next, teach evolution warts and all. Evolution has many scientific problems. Show how the millions of years paradigm doesn't work. It fails to explain the origin of the universe. It fails to explain how life began from non-living matter. It fails to explain where information from DNA came from. It fails to explain how mutations could ever possibly lead to new features in plants and animals. So teach them evolution and then show that it really does not do what it promises to do. It can't really explain these things. Ground them firmly in the truth, and that's number one, the truth of God's word. Make sure they understand God's word, and that's the source of why we believe what we believe. God is the creator. In his word, he tells us about it. The writer to the Hebrews reminds us it's by faith that we understand that the world that we see was created from nothing, by the power of God's word. So number one, people need to be grounded in the truth of God's word. But secondly, we also believe that science is a gift of God, science properly understood. First article of the Apostles' Creed, with Luther, we confess that our reason and all our senses are given to us by God. And so when we use our reason and our senses in a sanctified way, we should expect to find that what we see in the world, when we observe and test it, will confirm what God says in the Bible. And that is, in fact, the truth. And kids from a very young age need to realize, don't be afraid of questions, but always be sure that we use our reason as a servant of God's word rather than to attack God's word. And you'll soon find that there's not really going to be a conflict between science properly done and the truth of God's word. Also, we need to explain the difference of worldviews to our young people, that creation versus evolution isn't a matter of science versus the Bible, or a matter of evidence, you know, that one side has all the evidence and we don't have any evidence. It's really a battle of two worldviews. And again, we as Bible-believing young earth creationists are going to start with God's eyewitness testimony as our foundation. The God who created us tells us about it in the Bible. That's where we're going to begin. And as we move forward from there, it's going to be consistent. Evolution starts with the other way. They start with man's fallible, ever-changing ideas and with a false assumption that things could create themselves and that you don't need any God. And so either way you're going to look at the evidence, whether it's fossils or DNA or living things today or living things from the past, you're looking at it through the lens of your worldview. So if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're looking at the fossils through the evidence of God's Word, which includes the testimony about the flood of Noah's day, whereas the evolutionist is looking at it through his atheistic Darwinian viewpoint. Certainly, even if he's not an atheist, let's acknowledge the fact that there are Christians who mistakenly believe in the theory of evolution. But when they do, they don't realize that they've distorted what God's Word teaches, and that they are therefore distorting that and looking through the warped lens of a Darwinian worldview, which, if one is consistent, would be atheistic and not consistent with Bible belief. And again, we need to highlight the two different kinds of science. We need to make sure that young people realize the difference between observational science that deals with things in the present, where you can, it's testable, observable, repeatable experimentation that you can do with these kinds of things. That's where we get space shuttles and medical advancements and computers and Wi-Fi and all the technological advancements today come through observational science, whereas historical science is dealing with the past. It tries to answer questions from the past, like how did different species develop, how did stars come to be, and things like this. And you can come up with some ideas about these things, but they're not directly testable with testable, repeatable observations like you can with things in the present, because the past is past. So you're observing things in the present and then making guesses, sometimes very educated guesses, but guesses nonetheless about the past. But many of those things also depend upon things that are assumptions. In fact, a whole lot of assumptions that cannot be tested and proven to be so. So it's, again, it comes back to, it's not about the evidence, it's about your interpretation about the evidence. And then another thing we need to do with our young people is connect them to good resources. Answers in Genesis has a lot of good resources on their website. They have books and DVDs that are available, so I highly recommend that. CPH, over the years, has come up with a lot of good resources, too, so we want to mention our Concordia Publishing House as a resource of information on this. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Commission on Theology and Church Relations has information about this. So we've had, we're blessed in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod to have a lot of resources that are made available to our churches and schools and to people who have questions about these things to help people understand this whole issue. And as we wrap up, sometimes people wonder if we would advertise or advise and advocate for teaching creation in public schools. And you might be surprised that we aren't pushing for that. And the reason would be public school teachers who don't believe creation would not be very well equipped to teach it properly. In fact, many evolutionists would rather misrepresent our position and even openly mock it. So what we would do instead is advocate that public schools should be open to academic freedom so that a teacher could teach both the evolutionary point of view and what's wrong with it, the challenges and problems with evolution, so that children would learn to be critical thinkers. And so if the teachers are at least free to teach that this is not a slam dunk, that there is controversy, then that would be a worthwhile thing. And so again, God bless our Christian schools and those who teach and learn in them.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Pastor Wirth. God's blessings on your weekend.
You're welcome. God bless you too.
Coming up in just a little bit, morning prayer. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.